This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:07 in the evening, and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And as promised, first up on the show today, we're looking at the aviation industry. And as you'd expect, and as it has been for some months now, it's not the greatest. According to data firm Forward Keys, half the world's airplanes are now grounded and placed in storage, and international seat capacity has dropped by almost 80% from a year ago. And you may remember just last month, we covered this actually, the Centre for Aviation painted a very bleak outlook for the industry, namely that many airlines around the world face going bankrupt by the end of May, which is in just under 2 months. So locally, things aren't any better. AirAsia recently asked for a loan to help with their cash flow situation, and both from the Malaysian government as well as governments in countries where they have subsidiaries. Now, with all this happening, you would think it's doom and gloom for everybody, which is why we thought today's news was somewhat curious. So there has been news that emerged from Reuters that a local company called Golden Skies Ventures, or GSV, they've made a $2.5 billion offer to fully take over Malaysia Airlines, or MEB. The proposal was made a month ago, and that is, of course, the latest in a series of companies allegedly taking an interest in MEB. For example, among others, it was previously reported that Air France, KLM and Japan Airlines were keen. But coming back then to this latest offer and the reason why it's making the headlines, GSV say they have big plans for MEB. They want to reinstate it as a premium long-haul airline, and they target positive earnings in revenue of 15 billion ringgit by 2025 before interest, taxes and depreciation. The company is placing their bets on pent-up travel demand once the pandemic is contained, and they predict an uptick in business from summer 2021. So I'm not an expert on aviation at all, and just having somewhat followed loosely the chronicles of Malaysia Airlines and equally somewhat loosely the chronicles of aviation as a whole, at least from the outside looking in, this seems too good to be true. I mean, especially in the face of what the rest of the world and the industry is experiencing, and not least because they are saying things like they don't see having to lay off any of the frontline 13,000 staff, I believe. They are saying that the government will be able to retain its golden share. So there's a lot here that seems to be all a big win. But in this climate, it just seems odd. I will leave it at that. And we're also going to, of course, take it over to our experts. So we're now crossing over to, we have two gentlemen joining us on the line. First up, David Yu, Professor of Finance at NYU Shanghai, as well as Brendan Sobey, Independent Analyst with Sobey Aviation. David, Brendan, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
So first up, let's talk about the bid by Golden Skies Ventures. What do you make of this plan to take over Malaysia Airlines' holding company, especially, I think, you know, given that demand for air travel, both here and globally, is going to take some time to go back to pre-COVID-19 levels? Maybe, Brendan, you could start us off.
It is a very difficult environment for any investor to come in. There are potential opportunities and opportunistic investors out there for any airline that might be for sale. So you can't discount anyone coming in as a new investor, even during these times. However, this particular bid, there's not much known about it in terms of the backing and where they're getting the money. There hasn't been much said, or specifically, and Khazanah has come out just in the last couple of hours with some of the reports in Malaysia saying that they don't have any money and they're relying on some other money, but it's unknown where this money is coming from. So there's some questions, and I think it's very important to find out initially, if they do have the money, and to prove that they have the money before any kind of further discussions take place. Otherwise, it's just very speculative, and it's hard to know if this is going to amount to anything or not.
David, your initial impressions?
Yeah, I think this, I echo some of Brendan's thoughts. I think this whole thing is predicated about risk, right? Both from the bidding party point of view, risk of completion, as well as from the seller, potential seller's point of view, of how do you analyze various bids, their quality of bids, and their essentially their likelihood to complete, given today's environment, which is not the greatest in terms of financing situation.
Now, I guess the main question here, we've kind of established that, or we were in the middle of talking about that actual dollar amount. So what were your initial thoughts surrounding that $2.5 billion bid and how that fits into what we know about MAS? I think, David, you were speaking earlier.
Yeah, hi. So let me, what I was saying before is, look, we it'd be good to, of course, see the latest financials, right? We, at the moment, that's not, we don't have the current situation analysis. But one thing to keep in mind about evaluation is always about what potential deals and structures that they will propose. And again, it goes back to deal completion, as I was saying before, as well as the fact that what do they have in mind for the company going forward as well? What kind of operating plan, operation plans, financial plans, et cetera. So it's an all-inclusive bid to come to this number. So I can't really say it's a fair number or not, but I could just say that the value should reflect all of this, and it's not the easiest of situations with all there is some hair in the transaction. So I'm sure that they're going through it one by one in that regards.
Brendan, anything you'd like to add?
I would agree with that. First of all, we don't know Malaysia Airlines Berhad's financial situation. Their last disclosure was 2018, so it's a bit difficult to put a value on it. And it's important for Khazanah to have a proper process here. So if they want to go back and revisit this sale process, which they kind of put on hold when the crisis started, they will have to look at the other proposals that were received, see if those bids are still valid, if the company still want to go forward with them, and then compare everything. And it's not just about the value, the monetary value. It's about what each business plan is and what each bid includes in terms of what are they taking over. Are they taking over all the aircraft? Are they only taking over some of the aircraft? Are they taking over all three airline entities and all the other subsidiaries? And and then look at it as a whole, strategically, what it means for Malaysia. And then, of course, you have to validate all the proposals, which in this one hasn't really been validated in terms of their financial backing, so you have to do that as well, and you have to have this proper process. So Khazanah will need to do that if they do want to consider a sale of the company at this stage. Another option might be just to put it on hold for a while until the crisis kind of subsides a bit, and then to revisit this later on. But whenever that happens, when they're ready to sell the company, they have to have a proper process and look at all the bids properly and do a proper litmus test.
Yeah, and Brendan, if I could just follow up, right? On that note, how would you assess current market conditions here in Malaysia and the outlook not just for MAB, but also Malaysia's other airlines? I'm thinking here of AirAsia, AirAsia X, Malindo.
Yeah, so all the airlines are extremely challenging situation. I mean, first of all, even last year it was a challenging environment, pre-crisis. All the airlines in Malaysia lost money last year. So that's AirAsia, AirAsia X, Malindo, Malaysia Airlines, Firefly, and Masswings. The latter three are part of Malaysia Airlines Berhad. And going into this year, it was the market looked difficult. It wasn't going to be easy. And there was overcapacity and an irrational level of competition, very low yields, and another loss-making year most likely. And now this has happened, and traffic has virtually evaporated. All the airlines are accruing, continue to accrue significant costs because most costs in the airline industry are fixed, and there's virtually no revenues. AirAsia has stopped operations entirely. Malindo's only operating domestically, very limited. And Malaysia Airlines also only a limited domestic operation and maybe a few international flights for repatriating Malaysians who are stuck in London and other places, but very, very limited right now. And the outlook is like for every airline and every market is very bleak right now. So it's very difficult, and all the airlines are going to need significant financial support, potential cash injections, either from private companies or from the government, i.e. Khazanah could potentially put in money into all the airlines in Malaysia or loan all the airlines in Malaysia, not just Malaysia Airlines, Berhad.
And David, if we're looking at China and other markets that were impacted by the virus first, such as South Korea, for example, as opposed to what we're seeing right now in Southeast Asia, are there signs that there is any sort of interest or a growing interest in traveling, particularly abroad?
At the moment, in China, after the reopening of the airspace world, the effective reopening where people have come back, there was actually a surprising uptick in initially for domestic travels. And this was really kind of a lot from what I gather is in my research. It looks like a lot from pent-up demand for people going back from their ancestral homes for the holidays and going back to their workplaces, et cetera. And this has kind of topped up in one respect. But the large amount of traffic is actually mostly on the freighter side, the freight side, where there's quite heavy traffic. And that's been popping up things. In terms of international travel, this side, it's still very weak, right? Because there's a lot of border controls that many, many countries have put up in place for non-citizen or non-private PR citizen individuals. So there's not too much in terms of international traffic at the moment.
Okay, so we just have about 3 minutes left with the both of you. What would a recovery look like for the aviation industry? How long will it take? You know, what is the, if you'll pardon the pun, what is the runway to this?
Yeah, so it's very hard to predict right now because, you know, we don't know how long the virus is going to last, how long these lockdowns will last, how long, the border controls will last. But I mean, the recovery will initially be domestic market. So as David was talking, there's already starting to be a recovery in the China domestic market, but international is just impossible right now because, you know, all the markets are closed and people don't have confidence to fly internationally. So we'll start to see a domestic recovery in other markets once there's containment of the virus and people, you know, are comfortable in traveling again domestically, and then the international recovery will take a lot longer. Now, Malaysia's somewhat fortunate in that there's a sizable domestic market. So unlike, say, Singapore or Hong Kong, where there's no domestic market, there's an opportunity for the airlines to benefit from a domestic recovery initially. And that could be, you know, anywhere from 1 month from now to, you know, 3 to 4 months from now, depending on how long it takes really for these virus containment issues to work. Globally speaking, international market can take anywhere from 6 months to 2 years. You know, it really depends on you know, how well the virus is contained and how what kind of recession we're in after this, how deep the recession is, and that will impact how quickly the incline of the recovery curve is. And we'll see a gradual recovery, but maybe not a full recovery for a couple of years.
David, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be a big range in terms of potential recovery here. So at the moment, no one really knows. So it's a big, it's educated guesses. But one thing we can say is that this is all predicated on controlling the outbreak of the virus in internationally. So this will potentially open up borders as things progress better and for the better. And one thing to note that is that even in previous times, if you look at some of the short term or even longer term, basically economic shocks to the airline industry, it has come back. So the good news is that there is light in the tunnel. The question is just when does that really start? So that's kind of where we're all trying to figure out at the moment, putting our research hats on.
David, Brendan, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
That was David Yu, Professor of Finance at NYU Shanghai, and also Brendan Sobey, Independent Analyst with Sobey Aviation, giving us their thoughts on the aviation industry as a whole, both locally and globally, and what this might mean for a potential deal for MAB. Now, unfortunately, our time with the gentleman was cut short because of technical difficulties. Apologies, everybody. We are going to be streaming, I think, very, very shortly as well, a press conference from the DG of Health. So keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.